Well, turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. As you're turning there this morning and standing for the reading of God's Word, we're going to go to the 11th chapter. While you're standing, let me tell you that this is the book Moses wrote right before they entered into the Promised Land. This book is comprised of three sermons that Moses preached, and you're in the second sermon here in chapter 11. This is called the Book of the Second Law, and the reason it's the Second Law is because for 40 years they've all been together, they've done everything as a group, and now they're fixing to go into a land where they're going to be separated. So some of the laws that they had while they were all together are not going to work when they're all separated. For example, there's a law that says that if you kill a domestic animal to eat it, you have to kill it in front of the priest, and then you can partake of it. The reason that God did that was because the people were sacrificing these animals to idols, so he said, no more of that, bring it to the priest. If you're going to kill an animal to eat it, you bring it before the priest, you kill it there. That way we can be sure that you're not sacrificing it to an idol. Well, now they're going to be spread all over the place. And so there's a release of that law. Now he says you can kill it inside your own home. You can or take care of it there at your house. You don't have to bring it all the way to Jerusalem or Shiloh or wherever the temple was and do it there. You can do it at your house. So it's a changing of some of the laws to account for the fact that they're no longer in a little small group. Now they're going to be spread out over this country. So this morning we're going to look at chapter 11 and we're going to look at verse 18 because the Lord has already introduced this sermon. So I'm just going to continue in what he said. It says, therefore, in verse 18, chapter 11, you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children and speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. For if you diligently keep all these commandments, if you diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to cleave to him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coasts be. And no man shall be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Now lead us and guide us, O God, to complete the work that you have begun. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I know that it's 12:30. And if you have to go, then you feel free to slip out. But I'm going to stay here till I get done, if I'm here by myself. Therefore shall you lay up all these words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be frontlet between your eyes. Now, I've driven this week a group of seniors to Kerrville and back, and I drove a group of ladies to Houston and back. And boy, do I have some stories to tell you this morning. I told them yesterday, they said, oh, we better be quiet. Brother Scott's going to hear us. I said, I already heard you, and I've got some great material. I don't even have to pray about a sermon today. I got one. And I want to tell you a couple of stories that I heard yesterday. Are you getting nervous? Yesterday, I heard some of the ladies talking, and I'm going to keep the names quiet here for anonymity's sake. That's a big word, and I don't know how to spell it in case you wondered. But I heard some of our ladies talking yesterday, and they said that two boys that are in this church that are right now probably in children's church, and I may get this story 90% right, so if I miss 10% of it, you'll understand it's just me because I'm eavesdropping. Said two of those boys had some friends, and I can't remember their names, so I'm going to call them James and John. These two boys had some friends at school that were going through a hard time, and these two young men from our church, who are not in here right now, decided that they would pray for them. So they went to them in school, and they laid hands on them, and they prayed for them. And they asked God to touch them and to minister to them. And later on, this mama heard these boys talking, and one of them said, I think the Lord really touched their heart. And the other one said, well, I know James made a move, but I'm not sure John received our prayers. I say praise God for boys that understand that. I say praise God for a couple of young men who are willing to go and pray for their friends, who understand that prayer makes a difference in what's going on. I thank God for two young men who go in and they can recognize when the Holy Spirit is moving in someone's heart and moving in someone's mind. And I thank God for two young men who have been raised by you in this church and by their family to understand that the Spirit of God is more than just something that we do. It's who we are, and they know how to recognize the power of God, and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for they know it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, and they've got that in their mind, and I praise God for that. The second story I want to tell you about this morning is about a young man. He's about 4 years old, and he went with his Nana to go to lunch, and when they got to lunch, he wanted to bless the food, and so he began to bless the food, and at the end of it, he went off into the spirit, began speaking in tongues as far as he was concerned, and when he finished, his Nana said, what was that? At the end, he said, it's the way you pray when you pray to the Lord in your church. This is the way we pray. This is the way we pray. We pray with the understanding, and we pray with the Spirit. We pray in English, and then when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. He understands this at 4 years old. He understands this at 4 years old. Train up a child in the way he'll go. Train up a child. That don't mean bring him to church. That doesn't mean just bring him to church. It means set the power of God upon you as frontlets. It means to exercise that gift of the Holy Spirit, not only in church, but also at your homes. It means to be a God seeker, not up here where everybody's watching you, but in the quiet place where no one can see you. It means to seek after God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and not to be ashamed of the gospel, but let your children see the power of God working in you, not only in church, but also at the house, also in your dealings. I heard another conversation yesterday, evidently as the result of the speaker, and they said, she really got me when she said that sometimes I do something and then I have to go out to the car and the Lord convicts me and I have to go back into the place and repent and tell the people I'm sorry I was ugly. I see none of you have ever had to do that. Never let your flesh get involved and get upset because something's frustrated the snot out of you. And you just think, if I could just knock this in your head, I would be better. And you let them have it. And then you get out there and the Holy Spirit said, just like he said this morning, did you scream hallelujah in my name? Did they hear you in that rant? Did they see me in what you just did? And you say, I'm sorry, Lord. And now I've got to go in. And I've got to apologize to the person I was just ugly to, or I've got to make a little purchase and send them some roses because I wasn't nice. Be sure your sins will find you out. If we're not Jesus to this world, where are they going to see him? If we're not Jesus to our children, where are they going to see him? We expect our teenagers to grow up and be godly people. But if they don't live in a godly home, in a God-seeking home, in a home that fears God, I'm going to telephone myself now. I was on YouTube the other day, and I was just flicking through the little clips they have, you know, and I came across this one on Pretty Woman. Has anybody ever seen the show Pretty Woman? Don't raise your hand. I thought, you know what, I like that show. I thought that show was nice. So when I got home yesterday, I told Kathy, I said, hey, I want to watch Pretty Woman. And she said, well, that show's like what, 30 years old? Or 20 or whatever? But I said, I want to watch it. So I clicked on it. You know what that show's rated? R! I started justifying it. Well, I don't remember anything that's R. I don't remember any. Why did they give it an R? They didn't show anything. It's no big deal. Why did they get an R? And you know what the Holy Spirit said? It's an R. They rate it that way for a reason. Turn it off. If I'm willing to watch that at my house, oh, listen to me now. If I'm willing to let that come in my house, and let that junk that I know before I ever turn it on, I know it's an R. I understand that. I know it's going to have stuff in there that I shouldn't be watching. It's going to have language in there that I shouldn't be listening to. I know that that's the case before I ever get to it. And if I turn that on and I watch that, and my teenager that was living at my house and that's living at your house, they see you violate something that you know is wrong, and the next time you tell them, well, you shouldn't get involved in that because you knew before you got into it what it was all about, they may say, I'm just following your lead. I'm just following what I see you do. Because religion is deadly. Religion is nothing but confusion and troubles and trials and causing confusion in your family. But if you're a God chaser, if you're a God chaser, if you're someone that goes after God, if you start off your day saying, God, let me be a witness to somebody today. God, let them at the dollar store. Let them hear my heart today. God, give me an opportunity to be like two young boys and lay my hand on somebody that needs Jesus. Let me do it today, God. Let me touch their... In your travels, God has things ordained for you to do. You may think you're just going to the dollar store. You may think you're just running down to Walmart to pick up a few things. You may think you're just going to work today to make the donuts like you do every day. You may think that you're just answering the phone at a school, or you're just doing whatever it is you do. You may think that's all, you're just doing that. But I'm telling you this, God's put you in the workplace as a light to shine in a lost and dying world. If they think God is dead, it's because we're dead. But if they know God is alive, it's going to be because he is alive in me. And when he's alive in me, he can't help but show up and show out. When their life falls apart, they'll look for you. When their life falls apart, they'll look for you if they know you've got God in you. When their situation gets bad, they'll come and try to find you if they think you can pray the prayer of faith. And I'll tell you something else. Ooh, hallelujah. When you're praying for someone in a public place and the Holy Spirit starts to come upon you and you feel like praying in the Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit just pray through you, don't you dare suppress that. They already think you're crazy anyway. They already know you're crazy. They already know that you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people that want to come and sit in a building for 2 hours on a Sunday morning and watch all the stuff go on and be participant of everything that went on this morning. They already know you're not right. They already know. But I'm telling you what, when your world's falling apart, it's nice to find somebody that's a little crazy. it's nice to find somebody that says, I don't care what the devil says, bless God. We're standing in a gap making up a hedge, and he can't have your children. I'm laying my hands on you, and we're going to see God work. That's what they're looking for. That's what they need. That's what they need to find in us. Not somebody that can say a lay me down to prayer, lay me down to sleep prayer, and can say a few words and walk away and the Holy Spirit never show up. They want somebody who knows how to touch the throne room of God Almighty and can make a difference. Let's be that people. He said in this book that if we're that people, if we're the ones that not only have church in church, but have church at thine house, has church when we walk down the road, have church when we lie down, have church when we rise up, have church in our house. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you, before I set before you this day a blessing. A blessing if you obey the Lord. If God has given you a promise, there's no T on the end of that, promise, if God's given you a promise, then you need to be proclaiming that promise. Let me tell you, God's not a God that sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. I've heard people say that, well, you know, God heals and sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. That's garbage. If that's true, then Jesus took a bunch of stripes on his back for no reason. And I believe he had a reason. I don't think he let his back be made into a piece of hamburger meat just to do it. Oh, this will be fun. Let's do this. Let me tell you something about that scourge that Jesus was beat with. Paul was beaten with rods. Paul was beaten with a whip. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul took everything. Three times he was beaten with rods. Five times he was beat with 40 stripes, save one. Paul took some whippings. Paul was a tough guy. Paul didn't back down from nobody, and Paul didn't back down from nothing, except in Acts 22, whenever the Roman centurion said, scourge him so we can know the truth, Paul said, hang on, buddy. I'm a Roman citizen. Don't be scourging me. But Jesus didn't back down from it. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I can have what he said I can have. By his stripes, I can be free from sickness and disease. By his stripes, I can have what he said I can have. By his stripes, I can be healed mentally. I can be healed financially. I can be healed physically. I can be healed in every area. I can be healed. Why? Because Jesus took stripes upon his back that we might be healed. And I'm telling you, if Jesus took those stripes, then we need to be proclaiming it in our homes. We need to be... Instead of running to the doctor first, how about praying and asking the Lord to heal you first? One of my favorite stories is whenever my son was about, I don't know, he wasn't a teenager, and his fever was raging. Had been going for a while. We'd done all that stuff, you know, we'd put cold water on his head. We'd given him Tylenol or whatever it was we gave him. We had done all that stuff, and that fever was still raging. And me and Kathy and Aaron, we went in Kenan's room. We anointed him with oil. We probably should have done this first, by the way. But anyway, you know, we've done everything else. I guess we'll pray. We anointed him with oil. And I'm telling you the truth. As I laid my hands upon him praying for him, I felt that body cool. I felt that fever break. I felt the power of God bring healing to his body. And it's one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had in my life. One that put a mark on my brain that I'll never forget, because I felt it as God relieved his sickness. And I'm telling you today that if you will trust God, if you will pay it I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm just saying go to Jesus first. If he says go to the doctor, then go. By all means, go. But I'm telling you, he was wounded. By his stripes we're healed. With blessing I will bless you. And he said, prove me herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I'll not pour it upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. And I want to just tell you this morning in closing, don't just have God in the church house. Bring God into your home. Gather your kids around before you go to bed at night and read one chapter out of the Bible. Let's put our phones down for 35 seconds and spend a moment in the Word of the Lord and then ask Him, what does this mean to us? And let the power of the Holy Spirit begin to transform not only our church, but also our homes. How shall they hear without a preacher? You're the preachers. You're the preachers. And if you're the preacher, then expect to be sent to Walmart, to Brookshire Brothers, to the dollar store, to the school campus, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. This Thursday, good Thursday, I guess it is, this Thursday at 10:30, we're going to be at Fred Elementary. We're going to pay Kona Ice to come and distribute about 200 snow cones to all the kids and the administrators on Fred campus. We bought stickers to put on the cups. So when they get a cup, it'll say Kona Ice on one side, but it'll say Oak Grove Harvest on the other side. And we're not going down there just to give away snow cones, although we will be giving away snow cones. But we're going down there to see if God will open up a door, to give us a chance to pray for a family, to give us an opportunity to witness to somebody, or just to give somebody a cool drink, if you would, in the name of the Lord. Because God says that if you do that, you won't lose your reward. We're sowing good seed into good soil, expecting a harvest, right? Right? If you got nothing else to do Thursday around 10:30, meet me at Fred Elementary, and let's give God an opportunity to show out and show up and show out on some kids and let this community know that Jesus Christ is Lord in Fred, Texas. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Stand with me if you would. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for letting God minister to your heart and mind and soul today. I hope you leave out of here better than you came. And the rest of you maybe too. Amen. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for your precious Holy Spirit today, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the opportunity, Lord God, to once again, Father, be renewed in you, O Lord God, that we might be a light in a lost and dying world. I thank you today, God, that you've commissioned preachers, O God, to go out into this world, O God, and to be a lighthouse in a lost and dying world. And I thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are giving this church, God, the opportunity, Father God, to make a difference, Lord. And I pray today, Lord God, that you'd rest our bodies, Lord God, rest our minds, O God. Father God, that you would move upon us tonight, O God, and bring us back to this house at 6 o'clock, Lord God, that we might, Lord God, overflow our cups, O God. Hallelujah. Lord, that we might, God, Lord, be overpowered and overwhelmed by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and that you might make us effectual witnesses in the community in which we live, Father. We thank you for this opportunity, God, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you back tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.